Welcome to the Real Man Talk Show. On this episode, we are talking to David Hopewell, pastor from Atlanta, Georgia. We were throwing around topics, and I just thought about the movie Menace to Society when Bill Duke was interrogating young Trey. You know you done messed up, right? What happens, what do we feel like when we messed up? So check out his story on the Real Man Talk Show. Welcome to the Real Man Talk Show. We are here for the Real Men of Christ, the Real Men of Christ. By what I mean by the Real Men of Christ is the guys that try their best to live a righteous life every day. They try to do right by their family, do right and follow God's law. And we want you guys to know that you're not alone. You're not the only one that goes through this stuff. We are going through it right along with you. And we talk about this kind of stuff. And we're just trying to get it to the point of excellence. And to that point, I'm going to bring on my friend that I met recently at the International Christian Film and Music Festival. He was holding it down with the media, amongst many other things. And I just want to welcome David Hopewell to the podcast. How you doing, D?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right.
Doing all right. What kind of day is it today, man? Oh, thank you, man. Thank you for coming.
You say, what kind of music was I into today?
What kind of day was it today?
Oh, man, it was crazy. Doing a lot of training, a lot of deals. I typically, on average day, approve loans for auto. And we had some crucial meetings right before I came, coming down 75 since I'm in Atlanta.
We were supposed to try and do this during the festival. And the festival was the usual chaos. God was in the house all week. Thank goodness. You prayed for us one day, didn't you? Didn't you pray for the festival?
Couple days.
Yeah. We tried our best to keep the Lord in the house, and he was there for sure.
Yeah, he was there for sure.
So, I got a chance to sit down with Cameron Arnett, the famous movie star. He'll laugh when I say that. If y'all listen to that episode, you can hear him cracking up about that kind of stuff. And then I said, David, man, let's do a podcast. Yeah, man, let's do it. All right, cool, let's do it. And I didn't see the mic for the rest of the week. They even shoved it behind a banner for the premiere of a movie. It was just shoved behind this thing. All my stuff piled in a box. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not podcasting for the rest of the week.
But hey, man, timing. God's timing, always.
Exactly. It's not our business, for sure. So I said, let me call him and let's see if we can do this and knock this out. So I appreciate you taking the time after your I-75 day to
to sit down
talk about some stuff for the fellas. So when you asked me, you know, what we're going to talk about, I don't know why. I just thought about Bill Duke and little Kane, who's in Don't Be Mess, cocaine at the table.
Yeah,
Bill Duke is interrogating him.
Right.
And I'm going to insert that right here. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Let me get this right. You bought the bottle of beer about 11:15?
Yeah, I bought the beer and I accidentally dropped it.
You bought the bottle of beer at
11:15.
Then why wasn't the bottle cleaned up? Why did we find it still there, spilled on the floor after the shoot?
After I left, other people was coming in when we was leaving.
But you don't remember what they...
But they look...
But you bought the bottle of beer, definitely, at 12:15.
Yeah, it was 12:15, exactly, if I'm not mistaken.
Now you see something. Now you see now, you f***ed up, you know that, don't you?
See what I'm saying? No, I thought...
No, so, you know what I'm saying? You done f***ed up now, you know that, don't you?
The more questions that cop asks, the more I thought I wasn't going to never see daylight again.
That's what we think about as men when, you know, we mess up. That's the voice I hear. You know what I'm, you know, you done messed up, right? You know that, right? You know you done messed up. So that's what came into my mind when we was talking about having you on the show. And you said, I have the exact perfect message and story to talk about without that. So, you said, so we're going with redemption on this one, you said.
Yeah, I feel like it's redemption. I mean, there's several stories I could pick from, but when I thought about what you said and how you said it and what's been going on in the world today, mm-hmm. the only thing that kept coming up to me is my marriage. Mm-hmm. Like literally my marriage. Like, I'll be married to this woman 15 years coming in September.
Congratulations.
Man, thanks. Mm-hmm. but the battle to get there, was not mm-hmm. easy. Mm-hmm. So literally, like, when I met her, first of all, I wasn't paying her no attention. I mean, she's 3 years younger than me. I would date older women, so mm-hmm. she wasn't even on the radar.
Oh wow.
But when she came to my life, it was like, okay, this is a different puzzle piece. It
Hold up. You say you always dated older women.
Always.
Oh.
Always. Always.
I couldn't let that slip by.
Nah. But the real thing was, because it was about maturity for me.
Got you.
Most of girls my age were talking about stupid stuff and stuff I was never into.
Right.
It was corny. A lot of stuff was childish to me. Mm-hmm. They couldn't hold a conversation. And I like to talk. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, I don't feel this, right? But meeting her, she was already 90, man. It was like talking to an old woman for real. And I was like, good. And it was over my head. And then when I found out that I met her when she was 17, I was 20. I was already in college. And I was like, this is crazy. So we hooked up, we talked for a minute, whatever. And we met in New Mexico, all places to meet, right? Mm. And so I'm thinking that she was living in New Mexico, whatever. Then come to find out, she lived 15 minutes away from me in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
And that her best friend was actually my cousin.
Oh, man.
And I was like, what is this? So it was like mm-hmm. God ordained the whole situation. And then mm-hmm. my father, who never said anything about anybody I date, was like, man, you might want to look at her again, bro. Hmm. I was like, what? I was like, okay, this time to this. And then it took us like 7 years to finally get together. Mm-hmm. And we got married. So we got married like 2006. Okay. So I'm thinking everything's cool and logistic, right? So then next thing I know, God's like, move to Oklahoma. I'm like, for what? There's nothing out there, man. What are we moving out there for, right? So like, then it was a thing of faith, because like, I transferred my job at the time. I was working for True Green, so we transferred my job out there. We get out there, and I had to set up this place to, you know, live. And the lady called me literally mm-hmm. 2 o'clock in the morning on the road in Arkansas, mm-hmm. 2 a.m. called, said, hey, I changed my mind.
What?
I changed my, she said, I changed my mind. I do not want to give you the place. I said, do you understand I have my whole life behind me in this car? And wow. you want me to tell my sleeping wife who's sleeping next to me in this U-Haul to tell her that I got to turn back to Atlanta?
Wow.
Like, you must be tripping. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go ahead and make it go and mm-hmm. get there. But for the first night, we sleep in the truck. The second night, we stay with some friends for one day.
Okay.
And then my brother, he put us up in like a hotel that was across from Oral Roberts University at the Hilton. Mm-hmm. And I said, I can't continue like this. The next thing I know, I hear God say, go to the back of Walmart. So I'm thinking, I'm going to find me some cash or something in the bag, right? Mm-hmm. Like old school junkie. And next thing I know, it's the apartment back there, right? So I walk in, and right when I'm walking, this dude pushes me over. He's like, dude, excuse me, I'm sorry. He drops his keys, like, y'all take care. And I said, hey, do y'all have any openings? The lady said, here's the keys right here. He's at the only open vacancy right here. So I take it. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're living, we're chilling. She going to school to Oral Roberts, getting her master's. I'm coming home from this crazy day at work. Mm-hmm. And she pop off at the mall talking about, like, hey, I need the keys. I need to go. I said, where you going? This was a Thursday. I got paid every Friday mm-hmm. from True Green with a check. And she was mm-hmm. like, I need to leave. I've been home all day. I need to go. I said, you go tomorrow. I said, the gas is in there. I need it right now. Mm-hmm. So I got to get to work to get the check. And then you have whatever money you go shopping, whatever you need to do. Right now, ain't no money in there. Need mm-hmm. the gas in there. So she snatches the keys out of my hand. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we big and bold now, right? Mm-hmm. She pushes. Mm-hmm. Then she pushes harder. And then she hits me hard. I'm a big dude, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm about 362. She pushes, she hits the ground, and while she pushes, a woman looks out from the balcony of the apartment.
Oh,
it's a white woman, and she says, do you need help? And she said, yeah, he's hurting me.
Oh, no.
He's hurting me. And so she calls the police. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dog, again, here we go. Mm-hmm. I don't mess up. Mm-hmm. So she takes off, right? I'm like, oh my God. So I jump in the car. You know, I grab the keys from her, jump in the car, and I go to the nearest Walmart gas station. I sit there for a minute, just trying to, you know, weed out the situation.
Right.
Breathe. Said, this woman I'm really called cops from the fight. Mm-hmm. And we in Oklahoma, bro.
Right.
Like, it's a for real situation right now.
Right. Right.
And I'm surrounded by all these white people who automatically think this is a big black dude beating on this little woman. Yeah. My wife is about 5 feet.
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah. You know, Smurfette right. versus the giant, right? So I come back to the house, right? And the house mm-hmm. is empty. She gone.
Wow.
She is gone. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe she'll come back, whatever. So I call her friend. I'm like, okay, where's she at? Oh, I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know where she went. The truth mm-hmm. is, she was there.
Right.
She
right.
was there. She lied mm-hmm. to me. I found out later.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, man, I'm good. Whatever. She'll be home. Whatever. Well, mm-hmm. how about this? A week goes by. Mm. No sign. So I'm yeah. feeling like, okay, if this was flipped the other way, this is called abandonment. Mm-hmm. You know, for a man to leave a woman like this, but mm-hmm. I'm a dude, so it don't go that way. So I'm feeling right. like, okay, well, I'm done. I like Latin women anyway, and there's a lot of Mexicans out here. I'm going out. So I did. Nah, bro, for real. I went out. I went out. I said, you know what? I'm going to be out in town. I called one of my homeboys that I knew wasn't a real Christian. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, come hang with me, bro. Because I knew if I was out with somebody real, they won't check me. So right. I went out. I was sitting out there, went to this mm-hmm. party, and sitting out. Felt very uncomfortable. I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I tried to push past the feelings, whatever. But the whole time thinking, where is this girl at?
Right.
What's going on? Like, whatever. So I'm sitting there talking to this girl. We chatting it up, whatever. I had no peace. You talking mm-hmm. about no peace. Mm-hmm. I said, dude, I'm gonna have to get out. I said, I appreciate you inviting me, whatever. I took a plate home. Got in the car and like a movie immediately started raining.
Like, perfect.
What is this?
Perfect.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me put a little gas in my car. I checked the account and the account is empty.
Oh.
She has drained all the funds.
Oh,
I was like, okay, I don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. So I'm now feeling entitled. I'm feeling like I'm in cut, stabbed, however you want to look at it. I was done. I feel like I'm in my right. I do what I want to do now. She's mm-hmm. doing what she want to do. Mm-hmm. So I called her to just give her a couple ear full of what I'm feeling.
Of course.
No answer. Nothing.
Of course.
Straight to voicemail. It wasn't even ringing. It was going straight to voicemail, period.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay. She ain't answering. I still need to go to work. I still need to take care of my responsibilities as far as me living, my situation, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm still thinking everything's just going to be up and up. She'll call. She's wherever. She's still in the state, right? Mm-hmm. Nah. I get a call mm-hmm. from her father. Mm-hmm. Left a voicemail. She said, hey, just want to let you know she's with me. She's here. Click. You know, that's it, you know.
Wow.
Somebody, she went back to Georgia with her mom and dad, you know. Right. So I'm like, wow. So this is already 2 weeks. I had no idea where she was for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, I had no idea where she was. But I'm living the life, doing my thing, being single, whatever. Mm-hmm. Trying to be, you know, back out there doing my thing. And then it's like, literally, I'm leaving. Like, I had to start going to church for a minute too. But I was like, you know, this supposed to be a God relationship, whatever. And right. I'm like, God, you kind of put me on this girl, like, whatever. Right. I'm done. You know, mm-hmm. I don't care. So, again, it starts raining again. I don't know what's up with this rain, but it starts raining again. And I hear God tell me, you need to go to the grave. And I was like, to the grave? Hmm. What grave? What are you talking about? And I look to my right, and there is a graveyard. I'm like, oh. So I pull in, it's raining hard. I mean, it's raining hard. Mm-hmm. He said, I want you to go to the tallest one you see, the tallest grave mm-hmm. you see. So I go to the tallest grave you see, not realizing it was Kenneth Hagin, mm-hmm. Who was a preacher, a prominent preacher back in the day. He used to do mm-hmm. healing ministries, him and Oral Roberts and stuff.
Okay.
And right next to him was his wife's grave, next to him. And God was like, these two died together. Mm-hmm. I mean, different times, but they're together.
Sure.
He said, and they went all the way to the grave with their vows. He said, I expect you to do the same thing in the situation. And the one thing you haven't done yet is ask me what to do. Mm. And I said, I don't care.
Oh.
I told God, I don't care.
Sure.
She left me. This ain't on me.
Right.
She left me.
Right.
I'm good. Like, you need to be talking to her, not me.
Right. It's not my fault.
And God literally said this, bro. And to this day, I eat these words to any man. I will never fix the neck until I fix the head. Mm. I was like, so you gonna put it on me? He said, yeah. It's all on you. I need you to show her what I look like.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Love the classic movies? Well, 24 Flicks has you covered. You can watch some of your favorite movies and TV shows you've known and loved. Watch anytime and anywhere and as many times as you want. Simply go to 24flix.com and start watching now. 24 Flicks is your home for unlimited family-friendly on-demand videos.
All Good Entertainment is Central Florida's premier Christian DJs, providing all types of music for all types of people for all types of events. That's All Good Entertainment. When the music really matters,
and it always does,
All Good Entertainment will be there to help make your event a success. Birthday parties, wedding receptions, anniversaries, church functions, or family reunions, you name it, we got it. Call and reserve your date today, 407-247-3939. That's 407-247-3939. Blessing your event with the gift of music. That's All Good Entertainment.
Now back to the show.
God literally said this, bro, and to this day I eat these words to any man. I will never fix the neck until I fix the head. I was like, so you gonna put it on me? He said, yeah. It's all on you. I need you to show her what I look like. How's she gonna see that if you acting a fool?
Wow.
How's she gonna see my love if you're not gonna give it to her unconditional? And I say love for like, you know, love the church. And I'm like, God, I have a lift, bro. She's done this. Right. And I'm just supposed to take it. And he's like, well, let me ask you a question. How long is your list? I was like, I got like 25 things on this thing, bro. God was like, but I only got one for you. I asked you to love her like I love you. Can you do that? And I said, right now? No. I'm not going to lie. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. So he had me pick up this book called The Beta State. And I was supposed to be reading it for his internship at the church I was doing. They was putting us in leadership roles. God said, I'm going to let you know now. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do. I kept pushing on anyway. I'm like, okay, whatever, God. You know. So I get to the church. We're meeting for our little thing, you know. And it's time for us to have our powwow meetings to find out where we're going, how we're achieving, and what ministry we're going to take part of, right? You know, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of in this. I already signed up for it. Might as well finish it, you know. And put it on my little resume, you know.
Yeah.
I get up there, and the pastor said, where's your wife? I said, I don't know. I didn't say, oh, she's out with her parents. I said, it just came out. I don't know. It just came out. I was mad still, and I didn't realize it.
Sure.
And I was like, okay. He said, come to the office. So he brought me to the office and brought six other ministers with him.
Whoa.
They put me down and had a powwow. And they went into my business. I mean, went into my business. Long story short, as of today, this is what it said. As of today, you are relieved of your position.
Whoa.
There's no reason for you to be here when your house is not in order.
Wow.
If you can't have your house in order, there's no way you come to the church and tell other people how to get theirs in order. And I was like, are you kidding me? Here go this woman again. She goes struck. So I was pissed. I shook the pastor's hand, said, thank you, I understand. He gave me the book. The book is saved to him. I can keep it. He said, there's a reason you need to read that, though. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not reading this book now. I don't have to.
Of course, no. Yeah.
So I called her. That's a voicemail. It's a straight voicemail, as it always was. I said, just to let you know, the internship I was supposed to be in, I lost it because of you. Thank you. Click. That was my message. Dude, she called me back within 2 minutes. And let me have it, first of all. Whoa. It's your fault you don't have the position because you're the one who talked to me crazy. You're the one who was doing this and controlling the situation. And you didn't have to tell him where I was, and da 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 da, on and on and on. Still not accepting no responsibility. And I was like, this is bull.
Right.
I was like, okay, whatever, man. At that moment, I see a car crash in front of me, like in my spiritual mind. I'm like, whoa. And God said, tell her she needs to get home. Or she'll be in the car crash because she left her protection. You are her covering. So when I was telling this to her, she's saying, like, I'm trying to scare her into coming back home. But I wasn't. I could care less at the moment, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, whatever. You don't want this to fine, whatever. So she said, no, put the people on the phone. So I walked up to the pastor's office. They happen to still be standing there. Thank God. I put on a speakerphone. I let her give her 2 cents about whatever. And the pastor tells her, and I felt good about this. He said, well, Mrs. Hopewell, I'm going to be honest with you. Your husband was in the running. He was going to be fantastic, whatever we put him in. But we cannot have people leading people when they haven't taken care of their own wounds. And she tried to dig a hole out of that, and they would not let her. And they was like, I'm sorry, it's done. He's not going to be on the internship anymore. And she knew this was my dream to do ministry, right? So after that, I think, okay, maybe she'll still set to come back into her. Man, she tightened the grip even tighter.
Yeah. It was
all my fault, no matter what it was. And I was like, I'm done. So I get home, and this book pops out of my bag. Again, I feel like it's like a movie, man. It popped out of my bag. Like, you know, and I'm like, where is this book coming from? I threw it against the wall. And God said, yeah, I did, man. I'm tired of looking at this thing. Like, everything with God right now is pissing me off. So God's like, you need to read the book.
Yeah.
I'm not reading that book.
He put it right down in front of your face. You drop your bag. The book pops right out. Boom. Hey,
and I'm not reading it. Yeah, I'm not reading it.
No, I ain't looking at that.
What's funny, though, right after that, my pastor from home calls me at the same moment.
Wow.
He's like, hey, I'm going to put you on with my armor bearer. He's got a word for you. I said, oh, man, here we go. I don't need no words. I'm like, yeah, man, what's up? He's like, hey. He said, something going on with you and the wife. I'm telling something in the spirit. And God said, you're not being obedient. I'm like, okay. What you want me to do? He just tell me the story. So I told him. Gave him all what she did wrong, this and the other. He said, it's funny. You have not said one thing you've done wrong. Because for me, I ain't done nothing. Because she attacked me. I asked her to stay out behind home. She attacked me, called the police, and all this other stupid stuff going on. And she attacked me at the mouth. He said, son, have you ever heard of anybody fighting by themselves?
Well, Floyd Mayweather. Pull up thing. That was close.
Right. It was kind of close. But I had to think about it, man. I really had to think about it. I was like, nah. He's like, this is what I want you to do. He said, the Lord told me to give you a task. Whether you do it or not, it's on you, but I won't tell you what you need to do. I want you to call your wife every night, leave her a message telling her how much you miss her. I literally said, I do not miss that woman.
Right.
I don't want her. She don't want me. I don't want her. Far as I'm concerned, she's a heifer. That's what I said. And he looks at me on the phone. I can see him looking into my soul. He starts laughing like this maniacal, evil laugh, right? He's like, I'm like, what is that? He's like, you got to understand, man. The devil's having a field day with y'all. Y'all meant to be together, bruh. That's why so much garbage. That's why so much hell.
Right.
I thought he can have her, man. I'm moving on. I'm going to do something else, man. I ain't got time for this. He said, you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. It's different if God had told you, move on. It's different if the guy says, you know what, I'll deal with her. But I guarantee you guys came to you first and said, get your head on right. Mm. Are you going to do it? I'm like, nah. I'm not.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know what, I'm gonna let that ride. I'll call you in a week. Mm-hmm. Right. Whatever, man. Mm-hmm. Don't block my number. I know you're thinking about it. I wasn't thinking about it. And he was right.
Yeah.
I said, man, I'm going to answer. I promise. He said, okay. And he hung up the phone. I laid down and I hit my head on the book. I'm like, God. So I opened it up, man. I started looking at it, you know.
Yeah.
And I started reading. And what grabbed me was how Joseph, he talks about how Joseph was just basically, and you know the story, abused by his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Going through so much hell, but trying mm-hmm. to do the right thing, even though he may have done it in the wrong timing, the wrong spirit, however you want to look at it. But one false move from Joseph,
mm-hmm.
just looking at it in a natural standpoint, that he could have killed all his brothers with all the power he had.
Yep.
And that one move killed off a generation.
Mm.
Multi-generation. Mm-hmm. And not even thinking about how it would have cut off. Of course, God always has another plan. But mm-hmm. again, from the natural, you kill off the Levites. Mm-hmm. You kill off Judah, which where Jesus comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
For one decision,
mm-hmm.
you can mess up a whole generation. Not yeah. realizing who's watching, who will be affected. And mm-hmm. I said, this is me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What am I? Who's watching me?
Right.
Supposed to be minister of coming at the time, and talking to people about God and Christ, and here I am in my own mess,
mm-hmm.
not thinking about who's going to benefit or be distracted from what I am doing as a man,
right?
As a black man in America.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Bishop Derek Triplett, BDT. Listen, I want the fellas to join the Gentleman's Club. The Gentleman's Club, not that kind of Gentleman's Club. Listen, go to DerekTriplett.com and join the Gentleman's Club. What is the club? It's just a group of men. I want to see as many men who are willing to commit to treating women like a gentleman. We've got the 12 points of the Gentleman's Club Code of Commitment. Go to DerekTriplett.com. If you agree with the 12, just join. You can join our private Facebook group that will be getting started with some discussions in just a few couple of weeks. And guess what? Just for joining, you get my new mini ebook, Gifts to My Son, 5 Lessons That I Taught My Son. Listen, fathers, uncles, coaches, all mentors of young men, this resource is going to be a great, great, great resource for you. And notice what I said, it is a mini ebook. It is short, download it straight to your phone, and it's free. It is my free gift to you for joining the Gentleman's Club. Go to DerekTriplett.com, join the Gentleman's Club. Thanks, fellas.
Now back to the show.
And I said, man, I sat there literally, man, I hate to say this part, but I was crying. I'm like, I'm messing everything up.
Mm.
But at the same token, I'm mad, God. I'm being honest, I'm mad.
Of course, of course.
I'm mad at her, I'm mad at you, because mm-hmm. you allowed it. Like, I don't know what to do with these feelings. And all that's left in my house right now is a bowl of Cheerios. I didn't go grocery shopping at all, bro. I didn't. I was eating like McDonald's and Wendy's like every
right.
night.
Right, I get it. I totally get it.
I was like, I can't do this no more, man.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, this is what you're going to do. You're mm-hmm. going to do what he told you to do. Call her every night, leave her a nice message.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her you miss her.
Right.
I said, but I don't. And I can't authentically say
yeah, yeah. I totally
and be truthful to myself and say this.
Yeah.
He was like, you will.
Mm-hmm.
You will do it because you will do it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I hate that word.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a cuss word to me right now. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did it the first night. It was bad. I was like, hey, sometimes I miss you. I got the phone, right? That was uh-huh. it, you know? And I laid there and I was like, man, I can't see myself with this woman. Like, she said she loved me. She gave this, she gave that, and then all these words. Now keep going, empty my account and all this other stuff, you know, I'm done.
It's a lot, man.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who, in my mind, doing the right thing, trying to do, you know, right by God and all stuff.
Right.
I'm asking questions like, is she even praying to God? Does she care about our relationship? Does she, you know, these stuff going through my head at the time, you know? And so one day, can I be like, for a week, leaving that message for a week, nothing happened. And sure enough, you know, I'm a bear car. He's like, hey, how's it going? You making a phone call? Like, yeah, I knew you would. All right, that's good. I was like, oh, okay. He's like, you don't sound happy though. I said, tell me, how can you be happy when your wife has left you? Tell me, how can you be happy when everybody expects y'all to be a certain thing, and then you're quite the opposite of that from your Christianity walk to just being a married couple, period. Like, how does that look to everybody? He's like, I don't care what it looks like to everybody else. I'm asking you to look through God's eyes right now. And I said, I'm gonna be honest with you, Lee, I can't see that. Where my heart is right now is on the floor. And you're asking me to open back up to a woman who's pretty much mutilated it and said some nasty things that I will not repeat on this show.
Sure. I appreciate that. Thank you. Family show. Like,
right. But I'm like, well, what do I do with all of this? He said the same thing you would tell someone else who's struggling with any walk of their life. You turned over to God. You have yet still to turn it over to God.
There you go. You was holding on to it.
I had not. Right. I had not done it.
Right.
I was going through motions and doing what people told me. But my heart was still heavy.
And you're still holding it. Holding that hurt. Holding that anger. Yes. I totally get it. And that's big. Those are big hurts.
Oh, man.
Not to mention the pride in all of that.
Pride. Come on now. Come on now. Now you know. You know.
Oh, yeah.
I was okay. I go back, and I felt like the only thing playing in my mind is soundtrack of Boys to Men Bending Knees, and I wanted to throw it away.
You know?
I don't want to be that guy, you know? Just, come on, baby, I love you. Come back. You know, I was like, that's it's not me. That's not where I'm at right now. I'm more like the old school song from Profile, Leave Me Alone. I don't know if you remember that one from the 90s, but it had some words in it, but you understand. But I was like, just pack your bags and go. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need you. I had a ministry before you. I had a ministry after you. Like, I'm good.
Right.
But I wasn't good, you know? So here's the kicker right here, though. I was like, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you. And I made the mistake, but a good mistake, to say, I will do whatever you ask.
Oof.
That door kicked open wide.
What came next? I mean, it doesn't really matter what you say anyway. I mean, it's going to open anyway. But
this would be technicality. But
technicality. Sure.
It didn't matter. Right. It didn't matter.
Right.
God was like, oh. And I remember I was sitting in my truck, not really doing my work, but I didn't have no energy. Everything was being put into how I'm going to retaliate with this woman. I was still thinking about how to get her back in the negative way. Not, we get back, baby. But no. How I'm going to do her like she did me.
Right.
Because you hurt me, and I'm going to let you know how it hurt. And I sat in my truck. I heard the walkie go off, and I heard my boss like, hey, you only done 3 yards. So I need you to get out there. And I drove in. I didn't do no more yards. I drove in. He was pissed. And I went, I'm done. I said, I can't work today. I can't do it. He goes, you're going to work on Saturday. We'll see. And I walked in my car and drove home. I couldn't even focus. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say very clearly, if you give her to me and give yourself to me, I will mend it.
Wow.
And I had to think, do I want it men? I had to seriously think, do I want it men? And I said, why are you attacking me? Why are you? And God said, how am I attacking you? You're the one who told me you wanted me in this marriage. Right? Well, yeah, okay. So here's the part you missed about your vows that I'm going to bring to you. that part of says that let no man, no man basically break this thing up. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I understand that. He said, yeah, but you understand. That also means you.
That includes you, right.
I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me, God? He said, yeah, that means you too. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you make this up. I can't. If I put this together, which I did, no man, including you, will break this out.
Wow.
I was like, that's deep, because I've never heard that used that way. But okay, I get it. So he's like, okay, so what you going to do? I said, okay. I'm going to let you have it. Is the first thing I want you to do is I want you to call her, see how she's doing, and mean it. When you get to that point, then we'll move on to the next thing. So that took another week where I got here.
Sure.
But when I finally got there, I did mean it, and I felt sorry for her, because when the Bible talks about pray for those that hurt you, I got it. I understood what that meant now, because when you start doing that, it pulls a compassion out of you for that person. And instead of being mad at this person now, you feel sorry for them. Right. They can't see their own detriment.
Right.
They can't see the pain that they're putting themselves in.
Right.
And it causes you to like really go intercede. Like, I really need to intercede now. So that lasted for a good minute. And then he was like, she's going to call you. Because she hadn't been calling all the time at all.
Right.
But finally, she did call. But it wasn't her that I heard. The voice I heard, it was a strange number to call. It was some white guy who called. He said, hey, man, I got your wife right here, man. She's been through a terrible accident. Remember the accident I talked about? Oh, yeah. She drove through 20 and crossed all four lanes of traffic, hit the wall twice, and wrecked her parents' Lexus.
Oh.
And the airbag broke her nail, and that's the only thing that was messed up.
What?
That was it.
Wow.
Because the night before, God had told me to pray for her, and I didn't know what I was praying about. And I said, wow. She said, baby, I'm coming home.
Wow.
Everything you said was correct. I'm coming home. And I said, I don't want to talk about anything else. Are you okay? She said, I'm fine. I said, I'll be on the next thing home. I said, cool. She got on the plane. And the minute I got her time, I knew she actually got the ticket. My mind switched back. She's coming home. I'm finna get her. I'm finna let her have it. I'm finna choke out. So I went to bed happy. Oh. You know, I'm thinking this is gonna be good. I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna let her have it. She's gonna be in the car. She can't go nowhere. I'm gonna let her have it. I'm gonna get a piece of my mind. And when I woke up, the Holy Spirit said, good morning. I said, good morning, Holy Spirit. Yeah.
He's like, it's the day.
Okay. So this is what's gonna happen. You're gonna put on your best suit and you're going to go pick her up. Go pick up some flowers. And you're going to take her out to dinner and let her order whatever she wants, no matter what the cost.
Wow.
I said, wait. Time out. She emptied my account. So that's already a problem for me with money. Number one. Number two, I'm upset that you want me to put on my best clothes.
Right.
To go see this woman who don't deserve anything from me right now.
Right.
I mean, anything. I don't even really need to see her. You know, and you want me to, and he stopped. Are you deserving of my glory? Are you deserving of my forgiveness, my grace, my mercy? Are you? Well, I mean, no. Filthy rags. I said, right, but God, I tried my best to honor you. I tried my best to not take your name in vain. I tried my best, you know. And God's like, yeah, I hear that. But there were times that you didn't meet that quota. There's a lot of times you truly ignored me. Like, how about this whole time in the beginning where I was trying to get your attention about your wife and for you to bring yourself to me, and you ignore me and stop going to church? Oh, that
called you on it.
Oh man, to the carpet.
Yes.
So I put on my clothes, put on my little suit, little pinstripe black suit, slamming. Like, I was looking good, you know what I mean? I said, okay, let me go pick her up, look for her small. But before I do anything, I'm gonna let her know that I didn't appreciate that. I'm gonna slide it in.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit says to me, you know I know your thoughts, right?
Right.
We're not doing that.
Right.
You're not gonna open your mouth about anything about the incident.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but God, he said, I'm gonna give you a little secret how this is gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
I know my daughter better than you know her.
Mm-hmm.
Your ways are not my ways. And so what you're thinking about is gonna pull her further from me.
Right.
What I'm doing is going to break that spirit in her.
Right.
I couldn't see it because it made no sense to me to be really nice to this woman who's been trashed and been talking crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nah, I'm not doing that. And we've been separated for almost 2 months. Mm-hmm. I was almost going on 3. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can do what you want to do. I'm just letting you know I know her better than you.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I hear you. She was, now I found out later, she was the first one on the plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the front seat of the plane, but she was the last one to get out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The very last one to get out. I didn't know that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what's taking these girls so long? Get off the freaking plane, let's go.
Yeah.
And she came in and you could tell she was very timid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess she thought because of my size and the anger I was feeling.
Sure.
That I was going to just blow up, you know? Mm-hmm. And the truth was, the ordinary David probably at the time would have let her just had it.
Yeah.
Just well in.
Right.
And I could, it's like God opened my eyes and I could see this frail woman internally, this little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the woman anymore. I saw this little girl. I was like, okay, what is this? And he's like, I want you to see what I see.
Right.
It's like she's afraid right now. She's. And I'm telling you, if you blow up, it's going to end this right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I saw that when I sat still. She was not trying to have any conversation with me at all. She got in the car and she's like, my suit. I was like, thank you. And I said, are you hungry? She's like, mm-hmm. I said, well, how about we go to Cheddar's? I know she likes Cheddar's. And I said, order what you want, you know? I figured, okay, she'll be sensible. $10 meal, maybe.
Nope.
Went all out. It was about $27.
Oof, okay.
Steak. Super steak. And my feelings was boiling.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear my heart on my sleeve, so I was not hiding it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I had to order me a water.
Yes, and, with lemon.
Lemon,
yeah.
And then give me a bag of sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Chris, I'm struggling to even look at her without having these images in my head of everything that had just happened 2 months prior and wanting to do something about what I'm reliving in my head at the moment. I'm like,
right.
I can't, and I keep hearing God, my grace. Mm-hmm. That's all I kept hearing over and over.
Right.
So she's not even looking at me. She's eating like this, like she's
drinking. Sure. You know. Course.
And when we finally finished, I did order like a hamburger, something like $8.
Yeah, $8, right.
Got to balance it out, you know.
Absolutely. No cheese.
No cheese. No lettuce either.
That's right.
Hold the mayonnaise. But I was like, okay. We're about to go home, is what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit says, oh, guess what? Your favorite guy's out in the movie, right? Batman's out.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay. He said, take her to the movie. I just quit.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker, Chris. People don't think God does this, but he does. He says, take her to the IMAX.
What? Wow.
Take it to the IMAX. And you know that ticket was already $16 by itself.
Right.
I'm like, what are you doing to me?
I know.
Is this my punishment?
Yeah.
Is this my punishment? Because right. I'm trying to figure out how am I being rectified in this situation. You telling me to trust you?
Mm-hmm.
I just messed up. She messed up. Now,
right.
still not taking full responsibility for my issue.
Right.
Again,
mm-hmm.
God reminds me again, you still have not asked me for it.
Right.
Because you're still not acting like me.
Mm-hmm.
You're still harping on your issue, what mm-hmm. you want, and you're mm-hmm. not even clear what I want. We're having this conversation while we're in the movie. So I finally bought the ticket. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to see the movie. I didn't hold her hand. I put the cup out from between us. I was not trying. I was not trying to be there. I mm-hmm. was not.
Right.
But I watched my Batman.
That's right. You got something out of it. You got something out of it.
Heath Ledger version. I had to get that in.
Oh, yeah. That's so serious.
Yeah. So I was into my movie. The movie was over. Got to go home. So I went home. I'm still pissed. Still upset. Sure. Trying to figure out how am I going to be rectified in this situation. God said, when you get in the house, go to the bathroom. And I want you to stay there until I tell you to leave. I go to the bathroom. And it started to remind me of my father. I even tell him, you're going to get a whooping. Go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
No. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
So I walked in the bathroom and God said, look in the mirror. Tell me what you see. I said, me. He's like, yeah, that's the problem.
Wow.
Wow. That's the problem. You have yet to acknowledge, again, me.
Right.
I broke down in the bathroom. And I just started crying. And I tried to do it quietly because she was in, you know.
Of course. Of
I didn't want her to hear it because I didn't want her to think it was about her, you know, that I missed her, all the other stuff like that. So I'm just crying to myself, like, God, I'm sorry, you know, but I'm having a hard time. And he said, this won't be the first time. He said, what she needs is what I've been telling you from the get go. Consistency and love. He said, that's how I love you. It's consistent. And it's always going to be love. And love is not always just hugs. Sometimes it's correction. I said, oh, I get to go in here. No. You're not going to correct her. That is not what I said. Right. What I'm saying to you is that sometimes in that form of correction, you'll be able to do it. But right now, she can't take that. Because you're a bully to her. You haven't yet to see from her eyes. You snatched the keys out of her hands. She asked you for something and your answer was strong. It wasn't, well, babe, I need to. It was, no, I'm, you know, you were loud. You, I mean, what was the care and tenderness in that answer? I've never responded to you like that. You say, God, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And I tried to talk to you nice. If I came in my thunder voice, do you remember Exodus? They said, Moses, we don't want to hear God. We want to hear you.
Right.
You haven't heard me. Not really.
Right.
I come to you soft in spirit. How are you going to do the same thing? Come on. I was like, man, am I a bully? Am I a bully?
Wow.
I'm not saying I caused it, but I definitely didn't help it. You know, she initiated, all day. But I didn't show God. God was nowhere in there.
Right.
He was not there at all. I'm like, okay. And God said, if you don't deal with this, it's gonna deal with you. At that moment, he said, when you walk out of here, don't say anything. Your response should be, because I love you. I was like, what? Because I still don't know what it was, you know. So I walk out. She starts sobbing. I'm like, what is she crying about? Like, I don't have time for this. This PMS, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So she looks over at me and, I mean, streaming, like, okay, is she dying? I don't know. And she says, I don't understand. I said, what do you mean you don't understand me? She's like, admits it right here. I've been horrible to you. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. And yet here you are, you leaving messages, telling me you miss me, you love me. You warn me about something I didn't even want to hear.
Mm-hmm. And then you take me out like nothing's ever happened. Mm-hmm. How can you be like this? Mm-hmm. And I'm going, are you kidding me? This is working? What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
We always talk about, you know, a lot of stuff that God asks us to do doesn't make any sense to us.
But here's the part, Chris, that gets me that I wish women would understand, mm-hmm. especially married women. Mm-hmm. You get mad because you hear that word, that cuss word, submission. Please understand, I'm submitting to God before you are, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. he's telling me things to do that I do not want to do.
Truth.
But you take it as you're trying to control the situation. And mm-hmm. the truth is, me and God have battled this thing for about 30 days mm-hmm. or 5 minutes or 15 minutes mm-hmm. or 3 days mm-hmm. before I bring it to you to say, this is what I believe we need to do. And you're, mm-hmm. you're trying to control. No, because if I had mm-hmm. my way, we would not be doing none of this. So trust, submission comes right. with the husband first. Because a lot of times mm-hmm. he's like, you know what, just let her have that. Hey, mm-hmm. go ahead and buy that. I'm like, but God, if you take care of her, I take care of you. Mm-hmm. I hear it all the time from God. Like, we only got so much money, I just buy it. I got you.
Right.
Then turn around and somebody blesses me with the very thing I wanted.
Right.
Or it's some money to show up out of nowhere, and mm-hmm. it's way more than the amount that I gave out to her mm-hmm. because I'm taking care of his baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. So when women get mad, submit. Okay. We're doing that first, number one. Number mm-hmm. two, when I counsel men all the time in marriages, this is the funny part is, that scripture comes up about submission. I say, I don't even go to that scripture. Mm-hmm. That scripture means nothing to me right now. What it means more to me is the scripture, I think, in 1 Peter, I believe it is, talks about, I'm paraphrasing, if a husband does not treat his wife correctly, his mm-hmm. prayers would not be heard. Mm-hmm. That's what I live by, because I need my prayers to go through, because we need
right.
it.
Right. Absolutely.
So, I don't care about the submission issue. I'm going to do what I need to do for God and right. honor him mm-hmm. through my actions through you to understand mm-hmm. that I need my prayers to be heard. Mm-hmm. I can't protect the family on a spiritual level or a natural level if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Because mm-hmm. then I put a curse on us.
Right.
And if I'm from the head down, are you right. kidding me?
Right.
Nah. So when I understood that, I was like, okay. And she broke. And it all became clear at that moment. I can't explain. Just everything opened up at that moment. And God was mm-hmm. like, this is what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So this sounds like a really happy ending, right? Nah. Nah. Your boy had to do this for about 7, almost 8 years mm-hmm. of consistency with her. Sure. Because mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much she was dealing with. Mm-hmm. How she grew up, the things that she was dealing with that she brought into the marriage, mm-hmm. that God had to show me through the Spirit. And then on top of that, when I was going to take theology as my master's, God said, no, you're going to take counseling. I'm saying, oh, wow. I'm going to take counseling for it. I don't want to take counseling. I'm going to take theology. He's like, nope, mm-hmm. take counseling. And he sent a man my way who had just did a funeral. Mm-hmm. This white man blessed me. He said, they do not take theology. Mm-hmm. He said, I just buried a 3-month-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. The mother's been weeping through the whole funeral, of course. And he mm-hmm. said, but she asked me during the funeral, Pastor, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. He said, all I have is the Bible. And I know for a lot of people, you can't just say that and leave it where it is because right. people take offense to that. But right. the truth was, he said, I had nothing but to say Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. I had no tools in my toolbox to say I need the counseling aspect. You know mm-hmm. how to navigate through this woman's issue and her grief.
Right.
The Bible talks about a lot of that stuff, but that's all I had. The theology will do nothing but give you more understanding of the word, but it's mm-hmm. not going to teach you how to counsel people
right.
in their situations. Like, it's great, but you need another tool in the toolbox.
Right.
So right. when he said this to me, I was like, okay. So I did it. Mm-hmm. I went and got the tool, and that tool went open up so much. I saw mm-hmm. my wife differently. Mm-hmm. I had more patience for her. Mm-hmm. I began to see, okay, I have to model things, not in arrogance, like this is how we do it, but mm-hmm. I'm doing this not for her. I'm not even doing it for me. Mm-hmm. That's your part about do everything unto the Lord is really real. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, if I'm gonna really be the boss, mm-hmm. I can't say I'm the boss.
Right. That's true.
I have to, a man in authority is under authority. And so that's God, right, is like, how are you going to make this right? Because mm-hmm. she's still holding on to that one day when you went off on her. Mm-hmm. And she was. Mm-hmm. She really was. But the more I was consistent, mm-hmm. the more I showed her God, the way I answered her, and not to say we didn't have a slip up here and there, because sure. in fact, I'll be honest about this, real honest. I'll put this out there too. When a man runs out of words, mm-hmm. that's a dangerous place to be. Mm. It's a very dangerous place to be, because for a long time, I thought men will always put their hand on women for mm-hmm. pumps or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not excusing it. Please understand. I'm not excusing any man putting their hand on a woman. Mm-hmm. However, I ran out of words.
Right.
And I put my hands around my wife's neck, trying to get her to shut up. Mm-hmm. And I put my hands to try to choke her. And when I went in to choke her, the only way I could explain it was like a loud noise mm-hmm. interrupted me. Mm-hmm. And it was the Holy Ghost saying, stop. It was loud. Right. I mean, I couldn't right. explain it. Stop. It was so right. loud. It scared right. me. I ran to the bedroom and I cried. And he said, never again. Mm-hmm. So the one and only time mm-hmm. I ever did it to Mark. One and only time.
Wow.
And I said, why? He said, I don't care what she says. I don't care what she does. Mm-hmm. She's still your queen. Mm-hmm. Number two, I give you other tools. Mm-hmm. That should never be your tool in your toolbox.
Right. Absolutely.
And I had to repent and I apologized to her. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how right I thought I was, I apologized because the woman she represents. Because God gives us these women. They're gifts. We can't afford mm-hmm. them. That's how. Mm-hmm. That's why I know they're precious, because God gave them. They're gifts to us. Mm-hmm. We can't afford them.
Amen.
But God worked on me so hard, man. I had to the man I have become today mm-hmm. is really because I listened and understood that it wasn't all about me. That book right. I kept throwing around, didn't want to read,
yeah.
opened me up so much about it's not just about you.
Wow.
Joseph trying to kill off a whole nation mm-hmm. from the brothers he, you know, did him, I mean, tremendously. And we have been in his right to do so. Mm-hmm. And second command of Pharaoh had the power to destroy generations.
Right, right.
Judah, mm-hmm. Levi, Dan, go down the list. And those tribes turned into kingdoms. But one man's decision.
One man's decision.
One man's decision.
Amen.
Will ruin a whole nation.
You guys, this is the Real Man Talk Show. We are talking to Pastor David Hopewell, giving us a dynamite, super powerful message. We started out about talking about how you done messed up now from juice. And yeah. Man, so many points where, and really, it seemed like the point where you done messed up was just your pride and holding on to that anger.
Exactly.
That did you wrong.
It did. But it felt like power. It feels like power.
Yeah, it does. You feel strong, right? Power.
Man.
But God is so far beyond that. It's supernatural. You can't understand it. It don't make no sense.
No.
And man, thank you so much for sharing that with me and with us. That's such an amazing, amazing story. Where can people reach you if they wanted to reach out or chat with you or get in touch with you, man?
I have an email, BishopBatman@gmail.com. That's one. I'm Batman. On Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bishop Batman is both sides of who I am. It's the Batman is my natural and the Bishop is spiritual. So I put them together.
And, all right.
So, yeah. And then also, I'm on Instagram. It's BishopBatman22.
Okay.
Hit me there. Send me a DM. That's fine. Yeah. My pleasure, man.
This is the Real Man Talk Show. You can catch us Wednesdays on Indie Jams Radio. It's an internet radio station. Just search for it. It'll be there. Also, the Real Man Talk Show podcast is on all your favorite podcast providers. So check it out.
Yeah.
You're there, man. God is doing it. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you guys next week. God bless. The Real Man Talk Show is produced by 24 Flicks. Producer, Chris Cuff. Executive producer, Marty Jean-Louis. Copyright 2021.